Pastor Stan Collins and his wife Karen, missionaries, friends. Thank you.
Okay. Always good to be here. Got new glasses so I can see, and the optometrist said that my vision, she said, this will make a difference. And she was right. I can see you guys back there today. So I can't read my Bible with them on, but but I can see you. So that's awesome. So this was my year for like a little overhaul, like new glasses. And Karen has been asking me for a couple years to get hearing aids, because all the guys in my family, my grandfather on my dad's side, and then my dad, and all the men on that side of the family, when they hit their 60s, start to lose, or they did. And because my grandfather never got hearing aids, he just happily didn't hear anybody. But Karen told me that this year, if I don't get hearing aids, she said, don't come back to Argentina. So I said, got to get hearing aids. So working on trying to figure out how to, like there's a little fan over here that's blowing. You probably can't hear it, but it's like, So anyway. You don't need to hear about that, do you? But you just did. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 25. This is a very simple message. Very, very simple thing that we want to communicate. And we ask, Lord, we do ask that this would be your guided communication to us. This morning here. Thanks for the opportunity to open your word together and to be edified and instructed and blessed by what you tell us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's it's amazing how much Jesus talked about the kingdom. You know, he started off his public ministry in Matthew chapter 5, preaching about the kingdom of heaven. And you know, in the book of Acts, it's interesting. Like, so Jesus, he starts off, maybe I think that, you know, because that's where he was from. He's from heaven, and he comes down to the earth. And maybe the first 30 years, because he was the Son of God. He knew that, but he wasn't preaching publicly, mostly for about 30 years. What was he doing? Maybe observing. Because, okay, I'm from heaven, and I know how the kingdom of heaven works. And then, you know, just really seeing how the kingdom of darkness is, and going, man, this is different. And so then he starts instructing people about like the difference and how different it is. And it's not just, but the purpose, of course, is to tell us so that we can actually be oriented to and operating in that kingdom, like even while we're here. That's the awesome thing, you know. Like people, like I say this often, you know. Like people drive by the church and they see the sign, you know, Greater Grace Church, and they say, like, I wonder what's going on in there, and maybe like they imagine that you are in here because you're trying to go to heaven, right? I think that's a popular idea that people could have, that those cars in the parking lot, those people that are in there, they're just trying to go to heaven. And that's not the case, is it? I mean, like, of course, I mean, we want to go to heaven, but like, we're not in here trying to go to heaven, right? We actually in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, we are seated together in heavenly places now. So we're in heaven. I mean, really, we are in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. That's where our citizenship is from. You know, like we're all, it's not just like when Karen and I are in Argentina, that we are like we're not from there, but nobody else is from there either. That's in the church. We're not from there. We're not from any of these countries down here. We're from that country up there. So we're not trying to go to heaven. But then sometimes, like the people in the church also could make a mistake and think like, well, what are we doing then? Actually, maybe we're just waiting to go to heaven. But that's not right either. Because like we're not just, okay, well, he saved us, and then what are we doing? I guess we just like, you know, just hang out until he takes us to heaven. No, we actually have a mission. Like we're in heaven with a mission to the earth. And the mission is the gospel. And this is the thing that I just want to say to us this morning here, that it's in these verses. And there's a parable here in Matthew 25. He says that the kingdom, it's in the verse 14. And he says the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents, you know, went and traded. I'm going to read this a little quickly here. And he made 5 more. And he had the 2 talents, made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time. Did you just hear those sentences right there? After how much time? Say it again. Long time. After how much time? A long time. You know, how many here like to wait? Actually, you know, like waiting is awesome. Like waiting is good. Like waiting, because, you know, in Spanish, the word hope and the word wait are the same word. Esperar. You know, like I'm waiting, estoy esperando. I'm hoping, estoy esperando. Like, because you know what? Like, there is no hope without the passage of time. Because if you have it, that's what the Bible says. If you have it, then you don't hope for it. Like, you know, if Pastor Moore puts a cup of coffee here on the pulpit for me, then it wouldn't make sense for me to say, well, I hope that Pastor Moore will put a cup of coffee on the pulpit for me. Because there isn't one. I could actually hope for that, but don't do it. But you understand, I mean, you understand what I'm saying, right? So hope, that actually the whole idea of hope requires waiting. Hope is a good, how many think hope is a good thing? Well, then waiting is a good thing too. Would you agree? You're not sure. Okay, it's all right. Hopefully we'll get there. I mean, I don't. I mean, like, there is. It's an amazing thing. Like, you're like, I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. The waiting is good, if it's like a waiting on God. How much time? Long time. Right? After a long time, the master of those servants came. All right, let's go to, by the way, that parable probably is, let's see, it's somewhere after he came into Jerusalem, like in the on Palm Sunday. So it's maybe like Tuesday or Wednesday of the week in which he's going to be crucified on Friday. Are you with me? So this parable that he tells in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, it's probably Tuesday or Wednesday of the week in which he's going to be crucified. Go to Luke 19. this one in Luke 19 is going to be actually Friday or Saturday previous. It could even be Saturday. It could be the Sabbath day or Friday of maybe. So we're talking three, four, at maximum 5 days before the other parable. It's approximately a week now, this parable in Luke 19, because this is, he entered in verse 1, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And, you know, the story about Zacchaeus, which we're not going to read, but it's an interesting little story in and of itself. At the end of that story of Zacchaeus, Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house since he also is the son of Abraham. That's verse 10 or verse 9. And then verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Why did the Son of Man come? To seek and to save. Okay, why are we here? Why are we waiting? Isn't it good that God is waiting? If he wouldn't have been waiting, then, like, I got saved because God waited. Isn't that a good thought? Like, God waited. Like, he went away, and he said, after a long time, it's been 2,000 years almost, you know. And we are the beneficiaries of God's waiting. as they heard these things in verse 11, he proceeded to tell a parable. Because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. What did they suppose? Were they right? No. Because it ended up being a long time. And it's not a bad thing. Are you with me? It's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. The waiting of God. So he tells this parable. And he says, a nobleman went out into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return, calling 10 of his servants. He gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. And his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we don't want this man to reign over us. And when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants whom he had given to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they had gained. And the first came, and your Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said, well done. So do you see like a similarity in the two parables? Yeah. Is it the same parable? No. So listen. This really struck me a little while ago when I was thinking about this. Like Jesus, this is maybe one, this the one in Luke is maybe a week before the crucifixion. The one in Matthew is like 2 or 3 days before the crucifixion. If Jesus is telling, you know, two different stories, but with the same point, What's the point? Because what is he happy about that the guys did? They took it and they invested it, right? Like, what is in your hand? You know, like, okay, go with me to Exodus chapter 3. Actually, 4. Exodus chapter 4. Moses, you know, is in his... Moses is in the middle of his attempt to get out of this calling from God. Like, excuse, like, and then God says, no, it's like this, and another excuse, and God says, no, it's okay, and Moses, well, but, you know, well, what about this? So Moses, in chapter 4 and verse 1 of Exodus, said, they won't believe me or listen to my voice, or they will say, the Lord didn't appear to you. And the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Like, what do you got in your hand? You know, like the parable of the talents or the minas, it's like, it's not about 10, 5, 2, 1. It's not the point. Like, look how many he made. Like, that's not the issue. The issue is, did you invest it? You know, did you think that you are only here, like just waiting to go to heaven, and you don't know, but there's no real point to actually, like, me participating in anything? Because that's what the other guy did, and Jesus called him an unprofitable, even wicked servant, a servant. But unprofitable, and he's not, because he's not investing. He's not. He's just saying, like, no, I got it in my hand. I want to just go to, where is it? There it is. We're going all over the Bible. Isn't it good to that we are? You know, isn't it a good idea that we could begin to understand the Bible? Did you ever look at your Bible and, like, just go like, oh, I'll never understand that book? Did you ever do that? Like, never. You know, how would I ever possibly? But, and then maybe, like, years later, like, you said, like, my goodness, I can't believe I'm actually starting to understand this book. Has that happened? It's good, isn't it? And you young people, and maybe you're at the stage where you're going, like, I haven't even started, like thinking about that I would never understand it yet. But you will. And then just, if you just stay in a place where you're being taught. Like, the thing that I have seen over decades in ministry is that the secret to continued success is to stay under, you know. Like, Pastor Michael Toll gave a great message pre-convention on the word submission. We don't like that word so much, right? Like, that word submission, is that like a nice word for you? It's actually a very good word. What's it mean? Like, you know, the word, he took it apart, a simple word, like sub means under, mission. So I have a mission under someone. That makes great sense to me. Like, I have a pastor, and Pastor Stevens was my pastor. Pastor Schaller is my pastor. I have a mission under him. What's so hard about that? It's easy. Like, yeah, I have a mission. It's under Christ. But he's under Christ, and I have a mission under someone. It's an awesome word. It's not a hard word at all. If the one that you're under is under Christ. What's hard is submission when when the person that you're trying to submit to is not submitted to Christ. But if there's the right order, it's a beautiful thing. And we have a mission. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 10, you know probably a lot of this story of Saul, King Saul, who was going to be the first king, and God. And you know, by the way, he didn't start out as an idiot. He got there, unfortunately. but he didn't start out really that way. He was like God anointed. God sent Samuel to anoint him. Look at chapter 10 and verse 1. Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people, Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelza. And they'll say to you, 'The donkeys that you went to seek are found.' And now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is anxious about you, saying, 'What shall I do about my son?' And then you shall go on from there farther and come to the oak of Tabor. And three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept." I don't know what happened to the third loaf of bread. I've always wondered about that. You know, it's just one of those, like, what? Okay, I got three. I guess the other one's for them. After that, you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre. The same instruments that the guys were playing up here today. Almost exactly the same. Prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will... What does it say? The Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you. Wow. Isn't that good that the Spirit of the Lord would rush like upon us? Like the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And that's what we're, you know, because there is a man, there is a man, and it's me, who would like to just wait for God to take me to heaven. That man exists on the earth today, and his name is Stan, and it's right here, and he would like nothing more than just, you know, like to wait for God to take him to heaven. But there's another man. It says you will be turned into another man. And when these signs meet you, that's the new man, the new heart, that's Christ in me. And Christ in me is got something to do, right? And Christ in you has a word in season, right? Christ in you can build up somebody on the other side of the church, right? Or on the other side of the world. Huh. When these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. God is with you. That's a good word for me. Like, do what your hand finds to do. Whatever it's an expression. It just means like, hey, just, you know what it means? It means take a risk. It means like, you know, instead of like, oh, I don't, what could I do? Well, how do you know what you could do until you try something? This is the point, right, of the parables that Jesus told. You know, he talked about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 5. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 25, in Luke 19. He's talking, by the way, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, after Jesus was raised, after he was crucified, buried, 3 days later, raised from the dead, and Jesus is with, you know what it says in Luke chapter 1? That Luke wrote it, Acts chapter 1, in verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about what? The kingdom of God. He's still talking about it. Like, he's got 40, like, okay, he spent 3.5 years talking about it, and then he goes, he's crucified, he's raised from the dead, and now he's got 40 more days with these guys on and off for 40 days, different appearances to them. And what's he talking about? The kingdom of God. Because, like, we have a mission. This is what I just want to say to you. You're like, you say, but I don't have a lot in my hand. That's not the point. The point is, what do you have in your hand? Just invest what you have in your hand. Just say, I don't have much. Like you know this story, Peter, James, they said, like, was it Peter, James, and John, or just I think three, maybe, of them that said, we don't have much. We don't have money, but what we have, we can give unto you. Like, you know, like, be healed. Like, we can pray. We can anoint. We can visit. We can send a message. We can actually, you know, we can make a visit. we can come to Malta. Or is this Malta, or, yeah, something like that. Burnt Hills, Malta, Boston, something. Upstate New York. Unity is amazing, isn't it? There's a cost. There's always a cost to unity. It's easy to say, I'm united, but like, then you say, like, okay, like, yeah, but I, what do you mean, like, go there, like, visit, like, make a call, like, well, I'm busy. Yeah, of course, there's lots of reasons but what do you have? You may have more in your hand than you think. Saul, actually, at the beginning, he was awesome. Like, he even, you know, the people in chapter 11 of 1 Samuel, when they thought that the people said, like, we should kill the ones that said that Saul shouldn't reign over us, and Saul said, nobody's dying today. This is the same guy that a couple chapters later is ready to kill his own son because he went the wrong way with this whole thing. He got all wrapped up in the position instead of the simple words of Samuel to him, like, do whatever, like, what is it again? Do what your hand finds to do. Like, your hand will find something to do today. It will. But, will it be that's the thing, I think, just for us to hear from God and say, like, I have a ministry. Like, this is my church. That's one of the things that I just will tell you this in closing my part here. Our church in Rosario, what a beautiful group of believers like you. And this past April, we did our first live Easter play. Like before, we were always doing stuff on, we'd always did something on Easter, but it would be like we would show a movie or something or do some activity like that. But this time, the people in the church said, hey, Pastor, we could maybe do something. A couple of the women in the church said, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And you know what? Like, I hardly did anything. I mean, they asked me, they said, could you share the gospel at the end? But they did a marvelous job. And the reason I mentioned it is it's just a group of people that said, like, I don't know, I don't have much in my hand. But what I have in my hand, like, I will take it and say, God, like, you could do something with this. You could do something with this hand. Invest. This is what Jesus is looking for. This is why Jesus will say, like, oh, awesome. But what about the results? It's not the issue. The investment is the issue. The results, you know, God opens hearts. God turns things. Okay. Amen. Was that good? Was it okay or like?
Hallelujah. Amen. Stewardship. It's all about stewardship. We've all been given wonderful gifts from God in the natural and in the supernatural, but what will we do with it? And then it gets measured. I mean, it's on record right now, but that's what the judgment seat of Christ, we're looking forward to that. And hopefully with anticipation, like, I can't wait to see, how did I do? And hopefully there'll be a real, how many are shooting for a full reward? I mean, I am. And I think we should be. Yeah, the full reward. I know oftentimes when people first hear the doctrine of rewards, they say, oh, I just want to get there. It's like, well, you know, as we grow and as we get to understand the plan of God, and as Pastor Stan's bringing up the kingdom, it brings an appetite of wanting to, no, I want the full reward. I want to fulfill the will of God for my life here on the earth and then get the full reward. But and it's the daily intrigue of living by faith. What will God do today? And that's what makes life exciting as a believer. So we get to take communion now. And